And now on the Big Sports Breakfast, here's a man with all the latest news and opinions on and off the field from the world of sport, the Sydney Morning Herald's Andrew Webster.
He's one of our favourites and he's back every Friday at 7:10. Good morning, Andrew Webster.
Good morning, boys. That's a nice old blue you two were having about the West Tigers there. I could have just sat there and ate the popcorn and listened along. It was fantastic.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Have they been underachievers and did they overachieve or underachieve last year?
Lies, I love you like a brother, but I don't know if I can be with you. If you don't make it, it doesn't matter whether you finish 9th or 16th.
Whether you finish 9th or 16th.
I agree with you, Terry.
It's like 4th at the Olympics. It's a bloody terrible place
to be. Yeah, but you look at their roster, Webby. Did you have them in your top 8 last year?
Yeah, but they didn't finish top 8.
But Webby will agree with me. They overachieved.
Mate, they were on 10 points after the first 6 rounds of the comp and still couldn't get over the line.
Move on. Webby, what do you got for us?
The Herald has no comment at this stage. Look, it was just great to see the football back last night. I was down here. I'm still down here in Melbourne. Great to be there at Amy Park last night. We were all in the press area and all the broadcast area, and we're sitting there counting down the seconds, waiting if an explicit sex tape was about to drop just before kickoff. But it didn't happen, thank God. And, you know, it was a bit of a flat match, you have to say, but it came to life when Macquarie Oates scored those 2 tries. And Melbourne, they just keep on. They lose players. They lose a player like Billy Slater. We had had a new columnist in the Herald this week, Andrew Johns. He goes, all right, the 8th immortal. And he seemed to think that Billy Slater will be a massive loss, understandably, for the Storm. But Jerome Hughes accounted himself quite well last night, and he got plenty of praise from Craig Bellamy after the match. And Brisbane, that was funny. I'm sure you saw it on the telecast, but when you're there at the game and you could see, you know, you could see the whole field. Their forwards were gone after 10 minutes. Some of those big blokes were down on their haunches after 10 minutes. There's a lot about the Broncos forwards. I've also spoken to Anthony Seibold this week, and he said it's going to take time. Pangai Jr. was on the sideline there in the second half, and he was looking straight up at the press box because the coach's box is right to the side. The Broncos box is right next to where I was sitting. And he was barking to get on the field, so he finally did, and he gave him some spark that wasn't enough for him to get him back in the game.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking that watching the game, Webby. I was thinking their forwards are getting totally outplayed. They've had no ball. They're under the pump. I would have probably rolled the dice earlier and thrown him and David Fifita out there and tried to inject a bit more enthusiasm out of the forwards and a bit more punch. But as we've come to expect from Melbourne, I take out of last night's game, Melbourne, since Craig Bellamy has been there, there's not much difference between, and this is throughout the year, their best and their worst performance. But the Broncos, for me, when I watched that last night, have got plenty of upside in them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was also stunned that David Fifita didn't get on the field until the second half. But you're right, Melbourne, I don't know, Cameron Smith is just, if he's not the best player that's ever been, he'd have to be in the top 3. He just is an autopilot. He just seems to know exactly which way they're going to go. He's so deceptive about, you know, making the decision at the last minute about where he's going to go. They've got no spark around the ruck, Brisbane, at the moment with Andrew McCulloch. I don't know what he'll do at dummy half there, but yeah, it's just Melbourne just keep on keeping on. As I said, they're so consistent despite losing so many great players as they have over the last 5 or 6 years. So you know, it's obvious straight away that they're going to be there about some stage come September.
Yeah, do you reckon Kevy would be thinking, should he make a phone call once again to Cameron Smith? Because I was like you. You just watch him and you go, he could play for another 3 years. He said during the before the start of the year that, he'll see how he's feeling at the end of the year. He's got another two years to go. If I was Kevy Walters, I'm straight on the phone to Cameron Smith and talking to him about how his legacy can be enhanced by coming out of retirement and leading Queensland to a State of Origin victory. That's the line I'd be selling.
he can make the phone call, but I know what will happen straight away. Cameron Smith's wife, Barb, will snatch the phone out of Cameron Smith's hands and say, absolutely no chance. So I think that, you know, Cameron's... You talk to people at the Storm. I know Cameron sort of floated there at some stage. He's got a handshake agreement with Craig Bellamy that he could walk out on this new two-year deal at any stage this season. The feeling I get from people at the Storm and people who know Cameron Smith quite well is that he'll probably go on beyond the 2 years. That's just how fresh he seems at the moment, particularly if he's not playing rep football. So I'd be stunned if he reversed his decision to make a comeback and played Origin football. I think the big proviso from his family was that he played on, but only if he concentrated on club footy.
Wayne held court. When I say Wayne Bennett held court, the seven-time premiership winning coach yesterday. He gave a couple of little short uppercuts to Craig Bellamy and Ricky Stewart, saying, you know, they've...
Webby, can you ask the first question at Ricky's press conference, how he felt like to be called a drama queen?
He didn't name those two as drama queens, but he said...
He didn't have to.
What did you make of it? We've had a bit of fun with it this morning.
It's vintage Bennett. It's vintage Bennett. Throwing interest off his team using his last press conference of the week. He did it all last season and made it all about himself at the Broncos. He took the heat off the side just on the eve of, you know, it's a massive game, isn't it, against the Roosters, against defending premiers. That's the hallowed patchy turf of the Sydney Cricket Ground tonight. I know the meaning behind it, and Wayne never says anything without having a reason publicly. But I don't agree with the sentiment. You know, I thought, you know, Ricky's comments, and Craig Bellamy also made some comments about the damage that's being done to the game by all this off-field stuff. I was lucky enough to have a coffee with Bellamy earlier this year around the All-Stars, and, you know, he was genuinely concerned about the game, you know, given what we've just seen during this off-season. And I think it's a dangerous sentiment from Bennett. I think there's, you know, we've all seen the game go through ups and downs in the last, you know, 20 years or so. But, you know, I don't think it's being reactionary or over the top to be concerned about what's happened in the off-season at all. When you talk to people in clubland about how much money is not coming their way because of the off-field stuff, you know, it's quite concerning. To even talk to player managers, they just can't even get corporate deals or sponsorships for their players because of what's happened in the last few months. So I don't think they've been drama queens. I think they're just being genuinely concerned about the game. But I'll tell you what, it's a good line. He keeps us in the job.
It is a good line.
he does. And Webby's right. And you're spot on, Webby. He loves to deflect the attention off his own team.
It's also ironic. He's one of the biggest drama queens in the game. He loves it.
Don't worry about that. Tonight, mate, the Sydney Roosters looking to go back-to-back as far as premiership concerned. They take on the Rabbitohs at the SCG. They're pretty short in the market at tab.com.au, the Roosters. I can see a little bit of value, the Rabbitohs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think Bennett will have them up for that first game no matter what. You talk to anyone at Redfern and they're absolutely beaming with the coach. It's like he'd been there for years. He's, you know, he's a player's coach, and those South blokes have become really close to him very quickly. I'm sure they've got a point to prove. Inglis is the big key, as always. There's been a bit of concern about GI, I think, not just in terms of his fitness and his injuries, but also his mental state, because it's been a bit of a rocky road for him of late. So it's going to be interesting to see how he warms up to this season, starting tonight at centre. But I don't know. You talk to all the other clubs. I know it happens every single year where you talk about the defending premiers being the best chance to go back to back in a while. But you know, this is the closest we've seen in a long time, I think, with the Roosters, given, you know, who they've lost, who they haven't lost, and who they've definitely gained. You talk about Wayne Bennett being a drama queen. Trent Robinson just says nothing. He's got the coach whisperer in his ear, and he's not saying a single thing at his at his press conferences, and he did the same thing on the eve of this match. So it should be a good crowd. I think they've had plenty of ticket sales, and it mightn't be the best ground to watch footy at, but it's certainly some nostalgia there at the Quick Ground.
Well, they might be there for a long time. The Sydney Roosters going on what's happening with the stadium, and if a new government comes in, Webby.
My God, can you believe we're still talking about stadiums? I think I've been talking about stadiums on this show for the last 4 or 5 years. You know what I can't believe? Like, I know politics, I hate it when politics wades into sport, and it's certainly been the case with this stadium debate. It doesn't matter whether it's going to get knocked down or not. Michael Daly's going to build a stadium. And there's been plenty of discussion with the trust behind the scenes, even though he's been bagging them and Alan Jones left, right and centre. The stadium will get built. It'll get built, and there'll be a loan given to whatever body is set up to look after the stadiums in this state. So all it is that's going on at the moment: stop the bulldozers, don't tear it down. It's going to get built no matter what. So if you're concerned about there being nothing but a veggie patch at Moore Park instead of a new stadium, it'll happen at some stage. I just think if Labor get in, and this is what I've been told by quite a few people concerned with the trust and around politics and people in Macquarie Street, that if Labor get in, it's just going to delay how much longer the stadium gets built. So I think you'll see more games played at the Sydney Cricket Ground a bit later than what was first anticipated. But it will get built.
Enjoy the doubleheader tonight, Webby.
Thanks, boys.